Now, several miles away from Prague is a beautiful park. The park is in front of a castle on a hill. In the park is a lake. In the middle of the lake is a little island. On the island is like a little round, small palace. A little palace. And it's got a very high, pointy top. In order to get to that little palace, you cross over a metal bridge with chains that are holding up the bridge. And you cross over the little lake, and the little lake is very deep. If you open the door to that little palace, you go inside, and inside, there are only two things there. One long stone, and next to it, another long stone. Otherwise, it's empty. If you go close to the stones, there are two names, one on each stone. The name of a mother and the name of a son. These are two kfarim, two graves. Now the story of these two stones and who the people are that are buried in this little palace on the little island in the middle of the lake of the park and for the castle, this is the story that you're going to hear now. All right, let's begin. A long time ago, near Prague, was a very big, beautiful castle. In this castle, there lived an old duke and an old duchess. Of course, you know what a duchess is. Well, you know what a duke is, right? You duke? You duke? He says, I duke. No, okay. Not a duck. A duke. A duke is like a king who lives in a castle, like a big pirate. The truth is, I'm not sure the difference between a duke and a pirate. They're both very rich, powerful, like kings that live in a castle, and they have land. Now, this duke and this old duchess. Well, the duke's wife is called a duchess. What are you going to call her? Mrs. Duke?
Yeah.
No. She is called a duchess. The old duke and the old duchess lived in a beautiful castle on a hill. And this duke had 10 cities, 10 villages. Not really a city. This duke had 10 towns that belonged to him. He was not only the duke, like the king, over one town or two towns, but 10 towns. And these towns lived many, many Jews. And the old duke and the old duchess, they liked the Jews. Now, it was very, very lucky and mazeldik and a bracha from Hashem that this duke loved Jews. He liked them very much. Because many times, as we know, the Poretz or the Duke did not like the Jews and made a lot of troubles. This Duke knew that the Jews were very, very nice people, very good people. They worked hard and they were honest and they were very good because they learned Torah and did mitzvahs. And they did their best to keep the fields nice and grow the food and keep their homes nice and clean and beautiful and take care of their property, which of course belonged to the duke, and take care of their stores, which of course they had to pay rent to the duke, and keep their streets nice and clean because the streets belonged to the duke. So the duke was a friend of the Jews. The duke and the duchess for many, many years had no children. But when they were very old, not exactly a miracle like with Avram and Sarah, but still they were old, they had one son, the duke's son. It does not say his name, the son of the duke. Now, one day, the old duchess passed away. I didn't mean to rhyme that, but it just came out that way. The old duchess, the duke's wife, passed away. And the duke got very sad. He was sad all the time because his wife passed away. And one of his friends told him, you know, you like the Jews so much, I think there's something that would make you happy. Because the Jews are a happy people. As you see, the Jews are a happy people. Their religion, Judaism, says they should be happy. It's a mitzvah to be happy. And especially on their Shabbos and their Yontif, they have very happy times. So why don't you go visit the Jews? After all, they like you. You like them. Instead of staying home in your castle, why don't you travel and visit different Jewish families on their Shabbos and Yontif? And probably because they're happy, it'll also make you happy. Well, the Duke said, that might be a nice idea. I've gone by those Jewish homes on their Shabbos and Yontif, and I see them sitting around the table, and they're eating delicious food, and they're singing those songs, and everybody seems together and happy. That's a nice idea. Maybe that's what I'll do. Well, it came Shabbos, and the Duke told his driver, let's drive to a Jewish family near the castle, and I'm going to pay them a visit. Well, the Duke comes off of his wagon. It was Shabbos day. And the family was just about to make Kiddush. And the Duke comes to the house. Ooh, it's the Duke. Now, they were not afraid to see the Duke. They were happy to see the Duke. They liked him. Oh, come in, Duke. You're just in time for Kiddush. What's Kiddush? Well, we're going to drink wine. Oh, the Duke says, I like wine. That's great. Now, the whole question of Yain Nesek and the Duke looking at the wine, we're not going to go into over here. But the Duke, you know, he sees the father of the family making Kiddush and drinking wine. They give the Duke some wine. He drinks it. Hey, this is very good wine. Well, what else are you going to do here at this meal? Well, we're going to go wash. Wash? I took a bath this morning. No, we're not going to go take a bath. We're going to go wash our hands for bread. Oh yeah? Okay, I'll wash my hands for bread. But they're not dirty. Well, your hands don't have to be dirty to wash. We wash a special way. You want to come and wash? Okay. So they all go to the sink. If they had a sink or whatever they had in those days to go wash, and they wash. Okay, they wash the Duke. I mean, you can wash his hands. You don't have to make a bracha with him. So the Duke washes, sits down by the table, and the Tati takes out the Lech HaMishnah, the Chalas, and the Duke says, hey, what's that you're going to eat? Shh. Well, what's the problem over here? I can't talk? Shh. Well, yeah, you're telling me to be quiet? That's not the way to treat the Duke. Okay, well, Duke, you know, he sees what they're doing. The Tati makes a moitzi, and he gives everybody a piece of the challah, and they give the Duke a piece of the challah. He eats the challah. Hey, this is delicious. What do you call this? I never had such bread like this. It's so good. What do you call it? It's called challah. Oh, challah. No, not challah, challah. Okay, well, whatever it is, it's very delicious. Oh, this is nice. Well, they serve fish to the Duke. And they serve, you know, salad or coleslaw, whatever it is. And the Duke loved it. He says, this is so wonderful. Well, you know what? I don't want to stay too long by, you know, you. I know it's your special day. I just wanted to drop by and say hello. But, you know, it was very nice to visit you. So they said, look, you know, we see you'll enjoy visiting the Jewish families. Another family would like to see you also if you visit them. After all, we like you very much. Down the road, there's another family. I'm sure they'd love to have you. Well, the Duke went in his wagon. He goes to the other family just in time for Cholent. And the Duke comes in the house and they give the Duke Cholent. They say, this is Cholent. This is what's Cholent. Well, you know, it's a special food we have for Shabbos. It cooks the whole night. And the Duke sat down and he had cholent. Oh, this is delicious. And they gave him some more wine, maybe some mashke. They started singing some nigunim, and the Duke liked the nigunim. He felt so happy. The doctors, you know, they couldn't believe it because the Duke was always taking pills and medicine and complaining, I'm unhappy, I'm sad, and I'm upset all the time, and I'm depressed, and I'm so sad since my wife passed away. And now, at least for Shabbos, and also this happened on Yontif, the Duke went to visit the Jewish families, and he would eat a little bit here, a little bit there, he would have dessert over here, and something over there, and some cake somewhere else, And he was a regular Shabbos guest by all the Jewish families. Wherever he went, they liked him and he liked them. And this way the Duke was very, very happy. Well, Kinalach, the Duke's son was getting older. He was a big boy. The Duke was very old, but his health was pretty good. Maybe it was all that Jewish food and cholent and kosher food he was eating. Who knows? Maybe the wine. Maybe the mashke even. Maybe the challah. Well, whatever it was, probably it was the happiness. You know, happiness makes a person also to be healthy. Simcha. And the Duke says to his son, how would you like to come for a Shabbos to one of the Jewish homes? They're so nice there. The Jews are so friendly, and they're so nice, and they have such delicious food, and it's such a good feeling in those homes, how the families are sitting together and singing and talking, and they say words of Torah, which many times I cannot understand. He probably said Torah or something. I don't know what he said. I don't know if he said Torah. But the Duke said, you know, they're speaking by the table, very interesting things. Sometimes they tell me a story. I like the stories, and I like the cholent, and I like all the delicious things they have, and they're so nice. How would you like to come with me? Today, this Shabbos, I plan to go to the home of Reb Moshe. Now, Reb Moshe was, in fact, it says in the story, they call him Reb Moshe Possessor. Now, this word possessor, apparently, as the story says, he had a big, big farm. Of course, it was owned by the Duke. And Reb Moshe had to pay rent for the house and for the field and everything. But he was able to work on this big farm, and he, by himself, was a wealthy man. He made a lot of money. And of course, he had to pay each year a lot of money, rent, to the Duke. But the Duke liked this Reb Moshe Possessor. They call him Reb Moshe Possessor. His last name was not Possessor, but apparently a person that owns a big farm, he was called a possessor, that's what it says. And they call him in the story Reb Moshe Possessor. And the Duke was planning this Shabbos to visit the home of Reb Moshe Possessor, a beautiful home and a very nice family. And the Duke has eaten there before, delicious food. Reb Moshe's wife is a good cook. And he says to his son, how would you like to come with me for a ride, and you'll see what a Jewish family is like on Shabbos? And the boy said, okay, father, I'll come along with you. And this time now, the Duke goes with his son to Reb Moshe Possessor, and they go into the family on Shabbos, and the family was in the middle of their Shabbos meal. And now they sit down by the family, by the Shabbos meal. And the boy, who, as I told you, was a young man, he sees that Reb Moshe Possessor has a beautiful daughter. And her name was Roiza. The boy sees that Reb Moshe has a beautiful daughter. No, I found out her name because I read the rest of the story. Forget about it. I found out her name. We don't have to give her a name. She's not a baby. I found out her real name. The Duke's son sees by the table is a beautiful Jewish girl, Reb Moshe Possessor's daughter, and the Duke says to his son, oh, what are you looking at over there? Oh, he says, that girl is very beautiful. That's a very nice girl. Oh, I'm going to talk to her. I like that girl. The Duke says, well, I don't think these Jewish girls are going to talk to you. You know, you're not Jewish, and they don't even speak to Jewish boys. And I've seen it by other families when, you know, the Jewish girls are there. Well, you know, they don't speak to, if there's a young man at the table, the girl won't speak to him. I don't think she's going to speak to you. And the boy tries to speak to the girl, but, you know, she gets up, she goes to the kitchen, she helps her mother, and he sees that she's not interested to speak to him. But she was such a nice girl that he could feel she was a very nice girl, and she's a very beautiful girl. He says to his father, Father, as we know, I'm getting old enough to get married. Wouldn't it be nice if I could marry such a beautiful girl like that? A nice Jewish girl? They're very nice girls. Maybe I could marry her, but I have to get her to be able to talk to me first, after all. And the Duke smiles. He says, you know, it's not a bad idea, but I don't know. I don't know if these Jews would go for it. Let me think of a plan. And as they are getting up to leave after the nice meal that they had, and Reb Moshe Possessor is walking the Duke and his son to the door, the Duke says to Reb Moshe Possessor, he says, you know, my son is at the age to get married. And I see that your beautiful daughter, by the way, what's her name? Her name is Roiza. Oh, what a beautiful name, Roiza. Well, your beautiful daughter, Roiza, well, that's kind of hard to say. Maybe I'll call her Rosie or something, a rose. Well, call her Roiza. Her name is Roiza. Not Rose and not Rosie, but Roiza. Okay, I'll try. Roiza. My son seems to have a nice feeling for your daughter. Would you consider that we should make, what do you call it? I've heard that you Jews have a certain word you say, a shidduch? Well, it's called a shidduch. Oh yeah, a shidduch. Well, maybe, the Duke says to Reb Moshe, you would like to make a shidduch, between my son and your daughter, Rosie. Roiza. Rose. No, Roiza. Okay. Now, as soon as Reb Moshe hears that the Duke wants to make a shidduch between his son and Roiza, Reb Moshe's daughter, he got very afraid inside. And in fact, he didn't feel well. The whole Shabbos meal all of a sudden started getting like not so good in his stomach, because to hear even that the Duke's son has an eye for his daughter, and the Duke is not just making a joke over here. He seems to be serious. He wants his son to actually marry the Jewish girl, the daughter of Reb Moshe Possessor, Roiza. Well, he gets very not a good feeling inside, like something not good is on the way. And all of a sudden, now, Reb Moshe was a smart man, and he had a very quick mind, and he thought of a plan in 1 second. And he starts to laugh. He says, oh, Duke, I mean, you are a Duke. Not only a Duke, you're a very great Duke. And your family is a family of very special people. And your son is the son of a Duke. I mean, you will be able to find him a wife from another Duke's family. After all, usually the family of one Duke will marry into the family of another Duke because they're very important families. I mean, after all, I'm just a farmer who rents a farm from you on your land. You know, you're going to find a very important girl from a very fine, noble, important family. And I'm sure you'll be very, very happy that way. So thank you, but, you know, I don't think that it's good for you or your son. And all of a sudden the Duke said, very seriously, he says, you know what? I consider to marry a Jew to be higher than to marry the family into the family of another Duke. I think the Jews are such fine people. They're finer than the families of the other dukes. After all, I have visited families of dukes in their castles. I don't want to tell you exactly what goes on there in the families, but they're not at all like the Jewish families. Not the way they sit around by the table, not the way they talk, and they don't sit around and sing nigunim and eat cholent and have such delicious food. But it's not just the food. The whole feeling of the family, the husband and the wife and the children by the Jews is much nicer than by the other dukes and duchesses and special important millionaires that live in castles. So I would consider it an honor for my son to marry your daughter. Akinolof. Reb Moshe saw that this is not good. And then the Duke said something that really made Reb Moshe very, very feeling not good inside. And he comes close to Reb Moshe. He says, of course, your daughter would have to change her religion. I mean, she is a Jewish girl, but to marry my son, she could not remain a Jew. She would have to become, of course, the same religion as us. And of course, on Sunday, she would go together with my son in his wagon to the church that they go to in Prague. And of course, she could not be a Jew anymore to marry my son. But after all, it would be worth it. And in fact, it would be good for you too, because I would not charge you any rent anymore on your farm or your house. It would be good for my son, and it would be good for your family. Your daughter would have everything she ever needs, live in a castle. She would have whatever she wanted, and you and your family would not have to pay the big rent that you have to pay every year. You would live for free on your farm. And the Duke smiled, and the son left, and Reb Moshe knew that unless he thinks fast and does something, he's going to have big trouble on his hands, because the Duke was serious. As nice a man the Duke was, and as much as he loved Jews, but he seemed very serious about his son marrying the daughter of Reb Moshe. So right away, Kenelach, this is what happened. Reb Moshe right away found a shidduch for his daughter. He went to the yeshiva in Prague, and Reb Moshe Possessor was a fine man with a fine family. He went to the Rosh Yeshiva and he found a very, very special bacher who was a very big Talmud Chacham and a very fine bacher. Reb Moshe found a very fine shidduch for her, for his daughter in the yeshiva in Prague, and the bacher's name was Yitzchak ben Aharon Halevi. Now, he was a Yosoim. He didn't have parents. But when his parents were alive, they were known to be fine people. And he was a very great special bacher. And very, very quickly, a shidduch was arranged between this bacher, Yitzchak ben Aharon Halevi, and Roize, the daughter of Reb Moshe Possessor. And they had a beautiful chasana. And the boy kept on learning. A year later, they had a little baby boy. And his name was Yaakov. A little Yaakov, the son of Reb Yitzchak ben Aharon Halevi, and Roize, the daughter of Reb Moshe Possessor. And they were so happy living their Jewish life. And of course, the Duke and his son, you know, they found out that the girl had gotten married, and they just figured, well, she got married, okay, what can you do? And that's it. And there was no trouble. Reb Moshe Possessor was very happy. Reb Yitzchak and Roize have the little baby Yaakov, and they're so happy. All of a sudden, Kenelach, a terrible thing happened. Now, this is such a thing that happened in those days, and it should never happen, chas v'shalom, again. There was such a thing called a plague. A plague is a terrible sickness that was such a fast and hard-hitting, terrible sickness, and it would spread so fast that it was a terrible, terrible thing. The year after they were married, after they had their baby, a terrible plague. Now, these plagues would wipe out thousands and millions of people, and it would spread very fast. There was such a plague that killed almost all of the people in the towns where the Duke was a Duke, and other towns and other cities. Now, it was such a terrible thing that many people ran away, and overnight they would just pack up their stuff and run away, and other people would just get sick and die. During this plague, Reb Moshe and his wife got sick and they died in this plague. And the brothers and sisters of Roize, as I said, from the family, many of them ran away with their families if they were already married. And if they were not married, they ran away also different places. And Roize and her husband stayed home, but he got sick and he passed away. Yitzchak ben Aharon Halevi passed away in the plague. And only left from the family was Roize and her little baby Yaakov. And most of the village where she lived either died or passed away. And she was the only one left in her house with her baby. And she decided she could not stay anymore. And of course she was very sad. You can imagine to see her whole family and her husband to die in a very short time from a terrible sickness. She got very sad, very depressed. One day she took her little baby Yaakov and she packed a few things. They walked out of the house and the rest of the village was quiet. The whole Jewish street was quiet. There was nobody left. Either they had died or they had run away. She thought to herself, where will I go and what will I do? I'm all alone without a husband, just with a little baby to take care of. And she's walking through the streets and she's walking out of the town and she doesn't even know where she's going. And all of a sudden, she's near the castle of the Duke. Now, not only his castle on the hill was beautiful, but there was a gigantic park that was like a big yard in front of the castle, and this park was open for everybody to go in. Now, as I told you, the Duke liked the Jews, and he liked the way they took care of their houses and the town, and to be nice to the Jews, he had the park open for anybody, especially the Jews, who wanted to go with their kids and play there, and go by the little rivers and lakes and see the beautiful flowers, like a big botanic gardens over there. And, you know, it was a very nice place, and it was always open. And Roize always loved to go there. It was just a peaceful place. And she said, I'll go into the park, and I'll just sit down and rest a little bit and feel like, you know, feel a little bit happy. When she looks at the flowers and trees and the birdies, she felt a little bit happy. And little baby Yaakov also, you know, was happy. The mommy was happy and little baby was happy. And she forgot a little bit about her troubles. Just that day, on the porch, or one of the many porches of the big castle, was the Duke's son. And he's looking down from the porch into the park, and all of a sudden, who does he see in the garden, in the big park, in front?
Roize.
He sees Roize, and not Razel, no. Razel is a different story. This is Roize. He sees Roize and her little baby. Now, he had known that she had gotten married, but he had never really forgotten about her. And all of a sudden, he sees she's alone in the park with a little baby. And he calls his father, the old Duke. He's getting older and older, but he was still, you know, still okay, the Duke. He says, Father, look who's in the park. It's that girl, Roize. What's her name? Rose? Rosie? Roize. Roize, right, Roize. Called a Roize, yeah. The daughter of Reb Moshe Possessor. She's in the park with a little baby. Oh. Father, I'd like to go down and speak to her. She looks like, you know, she's not doing so well. You know, I saw at first she came, she was crying, and now she calmed down, but something is wrong. And maybe I'll go speak to her. The Duke says, well, again, I don't know if she's going to speak to you, but maybe we'll both go and she'll speak to both of us and she'll speak to me. And the Duke and his son go out of the castle, down the hill, into the park, and Roize and the little baby are sitting there on a bench by some flowers and trees. And the Duke says, Roize, what's wrong? I recognize you from the castle. You looked very upset, and now you seem a little bit better, but what's wrong? And she starts to cry. My whole family, my husband. Oy, the terrible plague. Most of my family died. And some of them ran away, far away places. And there's nobody left in the whole town. I'm by myself. And just with my little baby, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And she starts to cry. You can just imagine. And the Duke felt very bad for her. And he says, Raisa, I'll tell you what. In the yard of my castle, there are small houses. Some of the small houses belong to helpers and servants and different people that take care of the castle. But there's a beautiful little part of the yard with its own little house, and nobody lives there. And it's a beautiful, clean, nice little house.